into wine. You know, the and here these giving him a hard time. And I was just a guest. Maybe I shouldn't have said. I said, you know, he's not saying that. He's saying he had to make that break with his old life. And you know what? But here's a man many, many years ago. Here's a man 40 years later, still what? Gloriously walking with God, having a freshness in his testimony. That's the man who's made a break. You know, whatever it takes, you know, you just obey the Spirit of God. God wants you to cooperate with him in being practically set apart for God. At every stage of our life, sometimes he can put his finger on certain things that are issues for us that we need to respond to. We need to respond to it, being set apart for God. We maybe should be cautious in imposing everything that God would ask us to do on everybody, every other Christian. But we need to be attentive to what God has said to us in regard to being set apart for God. There's also, we talked about positional sanctification, that's practical sanctification. There's also ultimate sanctification, which is glorification, that you'll read about in 1 Thessalonians 5, 23 and 24. May God sanctify you entirely, body, soul, and spirit. Faithful is he who called you, who will also bring it to pass. So one day we're going to be completely glorified, totally set apart. But that's a part of your identity. Just as you're his, you have a glorious, loving master over your life. He's supernaturally gifted you, and he set you apart for a specific purpose. Cooperate with him. Cooperate with him. Respond to him, whatever he's saying to you, in regard to letting him lead you into all that the good works he's set apart for you. The fourth part of your identity we see in these verses, he says, you have been called, verse 7, called as saints, called. Perhaps you've, at some point, I've talked about the term called in the epistles. The term called in the epistles always speaks of those who have been won by that call. It's like the little boy who misunderstood the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, who hollered our name. God hollered your name so lovingly and persuasively. He won you by that call. He called you into relationship with himself. We'll look at that more when we look at Romans 8, talked about being called according to his purpose. But even if you were to do just a concordant study in the epistles, look at the word called, and you'll see something of the glory of that. See, because you've been called, God wants you to know, Ephesians 1:18, he wants you to know the hope of your calling. Because he's called you into a life of hope. Galatians 5:13, he said, you've been called to freedom. We don't even know what freedom is, but he wants you to experience that freedom. Don't turn it into a yoke of slavery, he says, as an opportunity for the flesh, but he wants you to experience that freedom. He tells the Thessalonian Christians, you've been called to holiness, 1 Thessalonians 4:7. So it's a glorious thing. He tells the Corinthian Christians, you've been called into fellowship with his son, 1 Corinthians 1:9. So just looking at what God has called you into, it's a precious identity. You're a called one. Now, I know sometimes we use that phrase and it can have a meaning. Okay, have you been called? In other words, has God set you apart for vocational Christian service? And God, there can be a... But in the also, Scripture clearly says that every believer has been called. You've been called into fellowship with the Son, called into freedom, and God has a special plan for you. Now, those whom he has a special plan for, some he may dictate to be set apart for the gospel ministry, but everybody is called in relationship to him. Everybody is called to be totally his bondservant, to serve him, whatever your occupation may be. So, called. He's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, Peter would say, therefore to proclaim the excellencies of him who called you. So, called. So, this is your identity. You're a bondservant. You're gifted. You're set apart. You're called. And the fifth in regard is you are beloved. You are beloved. You are beloved. Beloved. He calls them beloved. Verse 7. To all who are beloved of God in Rome, he set his love upon you. And the tense of that in the Greek is what he set its love upon you, and it's still there. It's resting upon you. When you see yourself as beloved, when you're around somebody and you just sense they love you, your whole body relaxes. When you're around somebody and you sense you're an object of their malice, your body gets tense. Or if you feel like you're around somebody and you sort of have to perform for their love, your body gets tense. But when you see that they're what? You know that they're what? You're loved by this person. You're free to be open and honest and not perform for their love. That does something to you. God wants you to experience His love as His beloved. He wants you to submit to it. He wants you to enjoy it. You can't be separated from His love. He wants you to know His love in a way that He truly wins your heart to Him. For the love of Christ controls us. It's a difference in knowing that love and that love beginning to control you. In other words, that's a part of your identity. You know God loves you better than you know your own name. God loves you. God loves you. Rightly understood, you can never overemphasize that because His love is a holy love. He loves you so much, He'll discipline you that you may share His holiness, but not out of love. He loves you. The love of Christ controls us. Having concluded this, one died for all, therefore all died, that we should no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died and rose on our behalf. That we've got a purpose in life bigger than us. That's part of our identity. We don't live for us. We live for Him. We live for Him. Well, five things there in regard that are part of your identity. And of course, we'll build on this as we go through the book of Romans, but that you are a bondservant, a bondservant. You have a master. You have a heavenly master, a master who loves you. Be cautious in trying to take upon your life the responsibility that really is your master's. It's His responsibility to take care of you. It's His responsibility to provide for you. It's His responsibility to give you directions. It's your responsibility to obey Him. He's gifted you. You don't have to be somebody you're not. That would be thinking more highly of yourself than you ought to think. But don't think too lowly of yourself. See yourself as one whom God has supernaturally gifted as an essential part of the body of Christ. He set you apart. He set you apart. There's something special about you. You may be in a crowd of people. It may be this crowd of people doesn't really even notice you, but God does. God sees you as what's set apart. And incorporate with Him in that practical sense of, say, God, I want every part of my being to be, that's the dignity of every part, every capacity in you. It can become a weapon of righteousness in the Romans 6. Your mind, your imagination, your tongue, all of that can be used of God. He's called you. He's called you. He's called you. And that's because He's called you. We talk about all the glorious things He's called you into, but He wants you to know hope. Hope. Be alert to that what? That devilish despair that the devil wants to throw those fiery darts at you. Maybe sometimes like you, there are situations you don't know the answer to. I don't know the answer to, and you can get your eyes off the Lord and it can put a spirit of despair. God wants to give you hope. He wants to give you hope. And also to see yourself as beloved, beloved, beloved. Man, that's a great thing to think about as you partake of the table. He set His love upon you, and it's still there. It's still there. He loved you when what? You were helpless. He loved you when you were ungodly. He loved you when you were His enemy. He loved you when you were a sinner. That's from Romans 5 that we'll look at later. He loves you. He loves you. You're His beloved. You're His beloved. You know, if there's anything that's hindering you from receiving that, sometimes we can have, remember that, those love reception barriers. Knock those down. Trust God to knock those down. Anything that sometimes when we've been hurt, we close our spirit. And we close our spirit to others because we don't want to get hurt again. And what we don't realize is we close our spirit, we've closed our spirit to God too. And so these things are just words. But God wants to penetrate. He wants to penetrate your inner being. He wants to know that if a person senses God's love for them in a way that He wants to win your heart, not just go through the motions. That becomes burdensome somewhere along the line. But He wants to win your heart to Him. He wants to win your heart to Him. That He loves you more than you love yourself. You're His beloved. You're His beloved. Seek him. Ask him to overwhelm you with that he loves you. Let's bow for prayer. Father, we ask in Jesus' name that you would deliver us from lies in the way that are a part of our practical identity that are not in line with you. And we ask you to plant these truths into our mind that we could see ourselves the way you see us, because we know this is reality. So God, would you hear that prayer? Would you hear the petition of all of our hearts? In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning. A blessed day called Palm Sunday. And I don't know if you realize always that every time we open up the Bible and read, we are looking at events that happened 2,000 years ago at a minimum. And the purpose for this is so that it would affect our lives today. And we celebrate the Lord's Supper as part of remembrance for what Jesus has done. But it doesn't end there. It's also to remind us of what Jesus has promised to do. None of us were at the original Lord's Supper, but I hope, by the grace, the mercy of God, all of us